Good evening. November 26, 2018. It's a day for me will be remembered forever because the opportunity for me to preach my first sermon. And I appreciate and am humbled by the opportunity to be asked to stand before you this evening and present a lesson. I'm in awe of people like Pax who can stand in for Doug when he's gone. He did an excellent job. I appreciate him. Did cause me quite a bit of anxiety this afternoon just because he did such a great job that I've got to follow that. And then when he came up here this morning, he had a very similar message that I had put together as far as why we're Christians and why we follow God. So I kind of had to go back this afternoon and do a little additional work to maybe do something a little bit different. But that's a good thing. That just allowed me to stretch my knowledge a little bit more. So appreciate him and appreciate all of you this evening to allow me and to come and listen as well. So tonight I wanted to talk about something that Pax had mentioned this morning about why we were Christians. And one of the things that we are to do as Christians. And one of the things that we are to do as Christians, we are called to reach out to the lost. I could read 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. So as Christians, we have that responsibility to teach the gospel and to seek the lost. And Paul speaks of his need to preach the gospel to the lost. While Paul was an apostle and certainly had great ability in the matter of reaching the lost and a calling that cannot be denied, the charge he proclaims in this verse rings close to home for the hearts of each and every one of us. At least it should. From time to time, we need to remind ourselves that our need to reach and teach others the gospel of Christ. It is a calling that each of us has. Now, when I mean calling, I don't mean that the Holy Spirit is directly whispering into my ear to go and talk to someone, but through His Word, by precept, example, and inference, we find that each of us is compelled to share the gospel to one another and to others who are outside Christ. In this lesson this evening, I want to talk about this calling and where it comes from. Well, the first thing that comes from is that God's commandments. God commands us to go out and preach the gospel. And we can read that directly in a couple of verses that I've selected this evening. The first is Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our responsibility. In Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, we read, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This great commission was commanded from Jesus to the apostles as he ascended to heaven. And while it was spoken specifically to them, it was implied to all believers, all who follow Christ. This is true because the apostles were not the exclusive teachers of the gospel. For example, Philip went to Samaria, and he taught the eunuch. And the disciples being dispersed from Jerusalem because of persecutions went everywhere, preaching the word. We read that in Acts 8, verse 4. They carried with them what the apostles had taught. The message of the apostles was passed on. In 2 Timothy verse 2, we can read, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And in the course of a few decades, Paul could say of the gospel that he was preached to every creature under heaven. In Colossians 1 and verse 23, we read, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. You know, Christ sets us is an example to us. And we need to do as he did. You know, with Christ is our Savior, he is also our example. In all that we do, we follow his example. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, it says, we imitate Christ. 1 John 2 and verse 6, it says, He who says he abides in him ought himself ought to walk just as he walked. So we should walk as he walked. Christ was a teacher. We are commanded to teach just as he taught. He came to seek and save the lost. Luke 19 and verse 10, we read that. And also in Luke 4 and verse 43, it says, he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also. Because of this purpose, I have been sent. That was his purpose, to deliver the good news, the gospel. We have that opportunity. We have that need as well. You know, the church is as a pillar and a ground of truth. In 1 Timothy verse 3 and verse 15, we read, of the works you find the church engaged in is evangelism, or reaching the lost. Primarily, other than local teaching, it was done through supporting teachers to reach the lost. The church saw this as important. Paul commended the brethren at Thessalonica because of their efforts to sound forth the word. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6 and verse 8, we read, and you become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all the Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord was sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that you do not need to say anything. Now we have an example of the first century Christians who taught. In Acts 8, in verse 4, we said, you know, they went everywhere preaching the word. In Acts 20, in verse 20, we read, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Throughout scriptures, we see the instructions from God to each to teach others. And that should move us to strive to teach others. Why? Why should that? Why should we go out and teach the gospel? Well, first of all, mankind needs it. When you study the subject of sin, it becomes clearly evident that man needs salvation. In Romans 3 and verse 23, it tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. Now that we all have sinned, so we all have to be made to understand that. The word has to be brought to us to understand that we are sinners and that we are to be redeemed to God if we follow his commandments. And because of sin, man needs a Savior. Jesus is that hope and our Savior. Matthew 9, verse 36 and 38, we read, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. There are people out in the world who are ready and willing to hear the gospel if it's just brought to them. We have a commitment and an obligation to do that. In John 4, verse 34, it records a similar occasion when Jesus told his disciples to open their eyes because the fields are already white to harvest. In Romans 5, in verses 6 through 8, we read, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly. So how do we learn? How do we learn from the Savior? It's through the gospel. Christ delivered the gospel to his disciples, and his disciples to those who they taught, and through generation upon generation upon generation, until us today, as we have the same opportunities to do so. In Romans 1 and verse 16, we read, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek." In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, we read, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel for which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." First Corinthians 1, verses 20 through 25. It describes how the foolishness of the message preached saved those who believed. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Is that our attitude towards the lost? To go out and proclaim the good news? There are voices crying out. They're calling for something to be said to them. Are we willing to go out and present that message to them? We have been saved by the blood of Christ through the preaching of and obedience to the gospel. When we realize that sin separates man from God and we have the gospel, it ought to move us to do all that we can to reach those people. We need to seek opportunities to reach the lost. We need to look around and realize that so many around us are lost. You know, we may not be able to convert every soul that we come across. In a lot of ways, it will be rejected, the message that we give to them. But that shouldn't change the need. That shouldn't change our desire to plant the seed whenever we have the opportunity. And that could be at work. That could be at school. That could be family members. There's always that opportunity. Again, why do we do this? Well, at least for me, my conscience tells me I need to do this. The conscience is a gift to us from God. We sometimes talk about training the conscience, but in reality, we educate it. God gave it to us to discern between right and wrong, and generally depends upon what we learn. When we learn the truth, after a while, our conscience begins to tell us we need to share this with others. And we can read of occasions where this happened in the Bible, like the four lepers outside of the gates of Samaria who found food from the Assyrian army and had fled, had to tell the people of the city. They couldn't keep it to themselves. In Psalms 39, in verses 1 through 3, it describes an occasion when David could not keep the message to himself. He had to tell someone. Within the Bible, we read that many whose spirit within moved them to act. In Acts 17 and verse 16, records Paul in Athens, where he sees a city given over to idols, and his spirit was moved within them. In 2 Peter verse 2 and 8, we are told that for the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. We are surrounded with the world of lawlessness and sinfulness. That's just more of an opportunity for us to go out and spread the word. Romans 9 and verses 1 and 2, Paul had great sorrow and grief because of his lost brethren. Do we feel compassion for the lost? When we see those wandering around about us, do we see lost souls that need Jesus? As we live our lives, do we think about our conduct, how our conduct might affect opportunities to teach others? Do we really care about the lost? In reality, this is what much of our concern boils down to. One more point I want to make about teaching those who don't know or haven't heard about the gospel. You know, where would some of us be today if it wasn't for people in our lives that came to us and presented the gospel? Some of us were raised in families, of Christian families that studied the Bible on a regular basis. Some of us came to Christ later in life because of individuals that came across our lives that gave us the opportunity and cared enough to present the word to us. You know, ultimately, it's our decision to take that word and go to Christ and obey His gospel. But someone had to bring it to us initially. You know, there have been many brethren that I've come across that have assisted me in my walk in Christ. And while we might think of them and be grateful to them for the rest of our lives, what is the best way we can demonstrate our gratitude? Would it not be a good idea to pay it forward? In addition to all the above thoughts, the call us to seek the lost, don't forget this one. For those who are lost, there is a place of eternal torment described in the Scripture. And the danger of eternal damnation is very real to the lost. Matthew 25 and verse 46 speaks of everlasting punishment that await the lost. The danger of eternal condemnation ought to motivate us to snatch men out of that fire. In Luke 16, starting in verse 27, we read about the rich man, Lazarus, waking in torment and desiring to spare his brethren from that awful fate. And Abraham answers him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." Friends, we have God's word, the message of redemption. We can strive to use it to deliver souls from torment. But will we? Will we make that step? Do we have the courage? And it does take courage. There's no doubt about it. Not everybody in this world is easily approachable. And it is difficult. But gain strength through Christ. Allow Him to help you reach those. And if you need help, we have many members here that can go with you and help as well. It's not all about your abilities. We have brethren here that are ready to assist in that endeavor. 2 Corinthians verse 5, chapter 5, verse 10, speaks of a day that judgment when we will all stand before God. 2 Thessalonians 1, starting in verse 6, speaks of the internal punishment that awaits those who do not obey the gospel and those who do not know God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 11 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." You know, we know the truth. We can present the truth. Now, the danger of eternal salvation may be very real to us as well if we fail to do what we ought to do. And that includes our need to seek the lost. In Ezekiel 3, starting in verse 15, the prophet was sent to a rebellious people. We can read, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth, and give them warning for me. When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. What's that a lesson for us? You know, even if we do save our souls in the end, I would not want to know that there was someone I could have reached, could have helped, but failed to reach out to them. You know, finally, I want to say that, you know, we can go back to where we begin with Paul. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Yes, it was written by a preacher and an apostle, but it is my hope that we have seen that the message rings just as true for each of us. And as we begin to examine our successes and failures of a Christian life and determine that we need to do better, let us not forget this calling that each of us has. The Lord is calling you to service. Will you answer? Once again, I want to appreciate the opportunity that I had this evening to present a lesson. And as Charles did dictate, I did stay under my time. So, but, you know, with that said, it is with heartfelt gratitude that I thank all of you. I thank the eldership to allow me the opportunity. It is a very stressful situation when you are set above before people to present a lesson and for your first time. It's a lot different than leading a prayer or making announcements or serving at the Lord's table or even singing in the choir, because all eyes are on you. But I do appreciate the opportunity. And I hope that the lesson I've given this evening does allow some thought. I agree with Pax in putting a lesson together. It is an opportunity for self-reflection. And this is things that I need to continue to strive for and that I need to continue to improve upon. Because being relatively new in the household of faith, that it is difficult when you spent the majority of your life in the world and you know how the world is, and keeping that strength and being able to go out and know that you are teaching a word that most people do not want to hear these days. But we need to continue to persevere. We need to continue to bring that message. It is our duty and our responsibility, and one that we should take very seriously. And if for some reason tonight you are a Christian, but you have a need, that you've fallen away from the faith, you have an opportunity to come forth. The prayers of the congregation here can be with you and for you. And if you've not become a Christian, you again also have the opportunity to come forth and join his family and be part of the redeemed and have the hope of eternal life after this life is over. If you have a need, in either way, come forward as we stand and sing.